Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have great guests here to introduce. It's Larissa Zeichert. She's really from construction sites to AI system, a really powerful person and personality, redefines mobility with garage tech and inclusive leadership, shaping how we move tomorrow. And then I'm very happy to introduce also Ladina Priya Kinji. From Davos roots to global transformation, she guides minds and hearts through dance, yoga, therapy, and conscious awakening, a life devoted to inner freedom. But first, let's catch things up and start with a song selected by Larissa.
We rise together, voices loud and clear, breaking the silence, spreading hope and cheer. One spark of just hearts align, a wave of good that the world will find. We stand for truth, for dreams that shine, a chain of change, your hand in mine. We are the change makers, the dream shakers, turning the dark into something greater. Every act of good, every step we take, together we rise for the future.
Change rarely comes from theory alone. It comes from people who are willing to step into complexity, take responsibility, and act. Welcome, Larissa Zeichert.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be with you today.
Larissa, you're one of those people. You're as an engineer, entrepreneur, and CEO of a family-owned mobility technology company. You have led a radical transformation from analog processes to AI-driven infrastructure, from traditional hierarchies to inclusive leadership, from status quo to future-ready mobility. Your story is not only about digitization and automation. Your story is also a story about courage, culture, and the human side of transformation on construction sites and boardrooms and within yourself. I remember the last time we've seen each other, Larissa. You stood at the stage and talked about your own story. And I imagined you with your siblings standing there in this special situation. Having the past behind you, knowing that you can build a new future, but in a situation where it was not really easy and given that this, what you will do, will be a success. But I saw a woman in front of me who was filled with empathy, with engagement, but also with experience. And it was great for me to seeing you because I thought a bit, oh yes, we could be a kind of sisters, with this always standing up and saying it's just at the end when it's fulfilled, and then the goal is reached, not before. Before, it's always trials, part of the path, steps of something which is bigger than us. What is your earliest memory of being curious about how things work or how you can change things, and that you not took everything as it was given?
I think I'm pretty lucky because I realized early in life that it's about just getting started, that change happens when you make the first step. And it sounds always as such a big story when you look at people that are already successful, but the first step is way before that. And looking back is easy, as you said, but in the moment, sometimes you feel like you can't move. In my case, we ran a construction business. My father died of a heart attack. It wasn't my career at all. But my sister and I decided we wanted to give it a go to save the jobs because there were families on the line and they had their life dedicated to that business. And my father had, he hadn't had a plan because he thought he was going to go on for another 20 years. So in that moment, I think it was fear more than anything of change. But that's what change always is. You're scared of it until you make the first step. And once you start moving, it's almost like acceleration gets a hold of you and pushes you for the second step and the third. And as you start walking, I think it gets easier. In my case, you said, yeah, I was there with my siblings. We are actually four sisters. That helped, this dynamic. But I had more than that. We had a team that was willing to go for it, to just try. And our company wasn't in a very healthy position. We weren't doing a good job out there. We were old, not in terms of age, that would be experience, but just in terms of we had slowed down a lot. And so there was a lot of work. But the good thing about there being a lot of work is you're not going to be bored, right? So you start.
I mean, I have two sisters, and another stepsister, and we are all totally different. If something like this would have happened, I nearly can imagine how it would be to say, "Hey, let's go, be in one boat." I mean, you often talk about a puzzle, and a puzzle needs no piece which is similar than the other. But can you remember this moment where maybe each of you, of the four of you, had different ideas about future, and then you were put in a boat sudden by something which is more a tragedy or something unexpected, negative, which brought you maybe together in this situation. But was it clear to each of you, of the four of you, that this means something completely different than it was the day before?
Be really honest with you, we had no clue. But what we did have was an agreement amongst us as sisters, which we had written years before, like color pens, I think, one at a dinner, where we had promised each other. My father wasn't a very healthy person, and we had always said, if anything happens to him, here's the three things we're gonna do. And it's as basic as I'm telling you. It was one, we're gonna keep the business going for 6 months to see where we're gonna be. Two, we're gonna ask for professional help. And three, we're going to fight it out, but never go to bed in an argument. So we're always going to make up before we go to sleep. And
Oh, I get
I
confused.
think these three things really helped, you know.
How much difference is between you and the other three?
And my youngest sister is 16 years younger than me, so there's a gap. But I have the one that I'm working with. We run LAT together with a really great team right now. She's only a year younger.
Wow.
But we're very diverse. And I think that's the clue in every leadership team. Diversity helps a lot. But to bring all these very different minds together, and in our case, we had the same culture. It wasn't even that complex with siblings, you know. But all these emotions, all these different perspectives, if you make it work, it's magic. But the illusion of making it work without professional help, I wouldn't advise to try that, especially not running a business, because there's jobs attached to it, families on the line. You know, you kind of want to be making sure it works. You don't want to start arguing and fighting. It's so much energy wasted. So we did need that help, and we actually brought a family psychiatrist in. I think very womanly thing. We didn't think about getting a consultant. We thought, let's bring in a psychiatrist who will help us find ease in our mind. Where do we want to be? Where do we see ourselves? What's our role? And the interesting thing was, different to what my father would have done in the past, she put us first. Because she said, only if you have peace in your mind and if you know what you want to do, you can make sure your company runs well. So we did our own strategy first, and then the company strategy. In my family, we always learned company first. No matter what, it's the company first. And I think that's a bit of a change over the generations. It's also how we run our business today, that individuals matter, that we have to care for their health. Only if they're healthy, they can give us their best. Yeah, it's one of these changes. It's been 10 years. Our company runs really well right now. I'm very happy. But I think one of these magic pieces to the puzzle was that psychiatrist to really think about what are our life goals.
I love that, really, Larissa. The query, same to you. I come from, my family was a family business. And I was born into the goal of family first. And your role is given, and you have to behave as you're set to make everything work. And if you behave differently, you risk crushing everything. And I completely understand you getting free of this. Get so much energy free, and you were so clever getting a psychotherapist. Wow, I think this is typical female, isn't it?
Think we just had one lucky thing that we agreed to. And she was very good at what she did. And I mean, it's the one step is looking at yourself. Obviously, it's always followed about strategy for the company. And the truth is, we couldn't have done either or without the other. So it was a good way to start with our mind, free your mind to be ready to give the most, but then also look at where do we want to be as a company? Where can we be and what can we achieve? I love having goals as an individual, but also as a team, because it means everyone runs into the same direction. Also a lot to do with energy and channeling it to say, hey, you know how everyone is, or I know a lot of people right now that are burned out and it's too much, and there's so much outside input that actually I think keeps us busy, keeps our brains working very hard. And with goals, you kind of tend to focus on one thing. It helps. It also gives us stability and resilience.
Absolutely. I like what you said. I think a lot of people are frightened to set up goals. Why? Because they haven't done the step you just talked about. They haven't done the step of finding themselves. Okay, he found himself his path already. He thinks he's a god. So but yes, I think a lot of people are doubting to set a goal because they are not aware of themselves. And if you are not aware of yourself, then setting a goal can really frightens you, isn't it like that?
I think so. I think goals need to be achievable. Sometimes it's a Japanese kind of way to find a goal first, an easy one, just one step, so that you kind of make yourself reach that goal to get a little bit of energy. Because failure is so painful. It's necessary in the process, but first you need to build the strength to be able to fail. So start with the small goals. You know how people always talk about athletics and getting in shape again. Why don't you start with one push-up?
Or sure, you can do one each morning. And then your body and your mind learns, I can achieve a goal. So to me, and that's something I learned in the whole process, is start with simple goals for yourself and then set goals for your team that work, that are achievable. It's a bottom-up approach too. It's often forgotten in management, and I used to work in a very big firm, a global company actually. And don't forget to ask everyone in the team, what can they achieve if they do their best? Because it can't be out there and not achievable. That won't, then it's not a good goal.
Absolutely.
It has to be manageable.
Was it clear from the beginning who takes over which role from your siblings, or was this also a kind of finding process?
Oh, that's a complex one with siblings. You know each other so well, you know each other's weaknesses. And different to a professional approach where out of respect, you would never target the weakness of the other person. As siblings, you tend to go for the weakness because you know that's the easiest line of attack. So it was, let's say, it was good to find our roles in that whole process, with also with external guidance, and then to accept each other's roles. For example, my sister and I, because if you lead a team, and that's for everyone who leads a team as two or more people, humans are like that. They find the gap, you know. They know if they get a response that's not what they want, they can ask the other person, like kids with their parents. And I think we learned to divide our management segments so that everyone sticks to exactly what they're supposed to say, and also learns to say, that's not my responsibility. You have to ask my sister.
Is there something you have as a secret for dealing with crisis situation where, for example, one want to give up, one is mad of the other, one is just close before I'm fed up with everything? But Chris, I can imagine, I mean, it is great to have a band like this, four strong sisters, each of them different.
But don't forget, you always also argue. So it's always about coming back to the neutral position and not forgetting what we do it for. So that joint goal of pushing, making it work, of bringing that company to the future, that was important for us. Because naturally, we're still siblings. We argue. And it's better for the team not to be in the room because we argue a lot. But then we go for lunch like nothing happened. And that's a strength. And I think we've learned over the years, our team has learned three things. The first change we had was due to my father's heart attack. I mean, they just got a new boss out of the blue, and then two girls in construction. Wasn't easy for our team. And then those girls come in and they don't know, can they, do they know what they're doing? No, they had to learn to trust us. So the first change we had was not by choice. It was a given one. But you can learn change works even through forced change. It's harder because you tend to remain in this moment where you think it's not happening, it's not happening, it's happening. Accept it. The faster you learn to accept change, the better your chances, I believe, to learn how change works and to make the most of it. So we moved from that tough change for everyone where they feared they would lose their jobs and everything changes to, okay, this worked and we survived, to what else could we change and how can we get better? And when you lose the fear of change, it suddenly becomes fun. So that's how the whole digitalization, and we're paper free now in construction, which is like in Germany, construction is quite old still and conservative. And we have the mobile phones for documentation. We use a lot of AI in our processes. I think all of that was possible because for 10 years we've exercised change and we've forgotten how dangerous change is. And it made us resilient. Actually, when Corona came, we were all digital. It was no problem because I had gotten two kids and my sister had twins. So we had to be digital. It wasn't by choice. Another change that was pushed up on us, and we made the most of it. So I think that's a bit, as humans also, what we can focus on and how to make companies better. Have fun with change.
Thank you so much. I mean, that answers me the question. And I think it gives also others the idea of that change has to be learned, that resilience has to be learned. It's not like a snap And it is something which can be fun too. I think this is also something we should address. It is not always hard work. It's not always bad mood. There should be fun. There should be game. There should be elements of gamification which can make all easier. Change is something which gives you agility, which is good for longevity, which is even good for making you fit. Yeah, in all times of crisis, outside or inside you, right? So we have a small break, and I'm very much looking forward to have you for further questions, answers after the break, because I can't wait. I have some topics where I'm really curious to hear to your answers. Thank you. So we see each other back in 2 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm happy to continue the conversation with Larissa. Larissa Seichert, one of the most powerful entrepreneurships in the engineer's world, coming from family business, turned it into something completely new. Larissa, we just talked about how it is to lead a family's business with a family, indeed, and with a lot of female power, which could be challenging if it's diverse, but of course innovative. So going back to you, you said that you are also a mother. How do you make it possible to be mother in a way that you want to be mother and have enough time for your kids and enough attention, and combine it with your work as a powerful leading person, face, and of course also a person who decides important things and has to be part of the inner circle.
It's a daily challenge. I mean, what makes me feel better? The Instagram videos of moms also losing their patience. I think my kids are now 10 and 12 years old, and they're girls and they're great. And I get all my inspiration from them. But the truth is, it's tough. And it was really tough when they were young. But I had my first daughter when I was still working in the American corporation. And it was 3 months parental leave. And I thought that's the toughest thing because in Germany, we have a year. Then I was pregnant with my second daughter when my father died and I got 1 day. So it wasn't much. But the truth is when you run your own business, you have much flexibility. And I learned to use that. And I'm very thankful I have my sister as a counterpart because she's very cool about these things. Once at the beginning, we shared appointments. We always made sure we had people who could subsidize for us. And even to know that if your little baby's sick, your sister will attend and she will make it work just the same as you, that's worth a lot to just calm down and know what's important in life. I'll be honest, my kids will always come first. I can't change that about me and I don't want to. But to make it work means to organize. And it's hard to organize the unforeseen, which is the kids. So you have to organize the business side really well. I'm lucky because I have a team and it's been since day one. We had, for example, Marianne, she's now retired, but she was working in the office. She always told me, oh, in your meeting, I will push your baby girl. Don't worry. You know, she was like a substitute grandma in my own business. And it's these things that you have to use. Ask for help is the only way to make kids and company work. And also to give yourself a bit of room. Because before, I was always a perfectionist. And I have learned that some things you have to be perfect at. So bring in team members so that they can give more than 100%. You know, you can't tell the customer, especially in transport, oh, I'm not going to be on time. That's not possible. So whenever you know that you have to be there, they have to be able to trust you. It's about building team. As simple as that. And then the second part is don't be so hard on yourself. I had to learn that. I'm still learning it every day because I think everything has to be perfect. And then I get frustrated. And the last thing I want is for my kids to know that I'm frustrated because they always think it's for them. And it's not about them. Then I'm frustrated with me. So, but there's room. And, you know, technology made a lot possible. I'm glad that we're very digital at LAT and we get a lot of talent because of that, because we have said that family is part of our DNA. We are family-owned business. People have kids. Do it the Italian way, you know. Be cool with it. They can be at the table. That's okay, as long as business can work. So a bit more relaxed than the normal German way. And I'm not going to try to ever hide that I have them. At meetings, I say, hey, I have to go. I have to pick up my kids. And I've noticed in the beginning, I've got the side eye, especially from older men. What do you mean? Isn't this meeting important for you? Then to stand up for me and say, yes, it is, but I do have other things that are important for me. And I'm not ashamed to say them. It makes room for younger people on the team to be able to do the same. And as long as you show your whole team, look, if you're organized, if you have a substitution in place, as long as the business can run smoothly, there's always room for family and has to be. I think that's gold, especially in today's time. And I can see it from all the applications that reach us, that we're doing something right. So
I like this very much, what you're saying, Larissa. And I completely agree with you. I mean, you know, from Patagonia, for example, when they hire people, they say, hey, are you engaged for some NGO or some activities for supporting environment? Hey, that's us. Go, come here. We get you free time when you want to fight for environment, right?
Yeah.
And fight for yourself or take time for yourself. Have also other things besides work. Get inspiration from others. Be fresh for getting innovative, right?
I can see my orange jacket behind me, so I have to add something to it. It's very easy as an office job to make it work. It's much harder for our teams on the construction sites. We work nights, we work bank holidays, we work during vacation. So there's another side of the coin to it. Office work for me is simple, right? Construction work is tougher and you can't bring the kids. That's the truth. It's a safety matter. So for them, we do try to make other models of substitutions work. And we give shift choice, for example. Some fathers love to work nights so they can be there for the afternoon for their kids. It's about making flexibility happen for every job, not just for the office jobs. I had to add that.
Well, I love that. I really love that. Because it doesn't mean only that you offer and say we are flexible. You have to show paths how it's really possible to support the people in staying strong, staying healthy, and give them opportunities that they can grow in the field they are and take care of their families. Wow, I really love this. And Larissa, what you said, I mean, you said technology gave us also some freedom, and I completely agree with you. I'm really happy if I can do things from home. And on the other hand, I see my small kid looking at me and saying, "Mommy, if you're dealing with this technology, then I also want to deal with this technology. Why are you limiting for me the technology?" And we all know that this is a bit poison if you do too much. How do you deal with this? Because I see many
I believe in the study wait till 8th, and it's 8th grade. I love the laws that are being passed, that it's 14 years and older. And I believe it could be 16 even, because studies show us that the brain is not, it's not healthy for the brain. And I don't want my kids to be depressed when they grow up, when they are teenagers. So I've learned, and I didn't learn at the beginning. I was the mom with the iPad in the restaurant for sure, because I thought, yeah, that's easy, right? It's easy. And when you're done with a day of work and you're tired, it's the easy way to do it. But we invest in a lot of tech startups. And I've realized that none of the CEOs give their kids a phone. So I've learned to ask. And some of the games companies we looked at, they have more psychologists on board than anything else. And it's not to protect the kids, it's to make them addicted. And it's these things that I've seen where I had to ask myself, is that what I want? And, you know, we're a generation where it was just the computer and you could turn it off. And it wasn't about being addicted. But now we're talking about social media that is has a swipe factor. It's made to be addictive. The only reason you have it is so you stay on the phone longer, so you see the advertisements. Mm-hmm. It's a different game. We shouldn't underestimate it. Does something to our brains. And the studies that have just, it's a UK website, I think, Wait Till 8th. It's every time I read it, I'm stunned. And I work with robotics. I work with AI. I do it all. I love technology. But I want my kids to have all the chances in the world and not for them to end up with, and they are extreme sicknesses. Depression isn't easy to deal with. So I'd rather keep them healthy, you know? So, yeah.
I completely agree with you. It's so important. The depression rate worldwide is increasing that much. And some countries already acted, just as China, for example, playing mind and mental health programs all over all schools in the whole country. And yes, I completely agree with you. We have to learn there, because we are dealing with this technology the whole day. And we have to show our kids how to get away from this, how to get back to climbing trees, to enjoying the free and the wet grass on the barefoot, by walking in the forest, for example, being around with animals, getting
it's more about, I think, even developing curiosity and being able to work to be curious. And that's what I love about my work now. We've changed and we're investing a lot in startups, you know. And the curiosity is back, because I learn about technologies. We're looking at one right now, Cellbricks, and they print, I hope I get this right, they print cells in a 3D printer to make implants, like a liver implant, or for wound healing. And it's crazy when you see it. So I rather take my kids to these meetings and make them see what's possible through technology than keep them, and it is that, than keep them dumb on Instagram.
I completely agree with you. It is not about the instrument. It is how we use the instrument. And it's how we talk also about the instrument that kids can understand. It's not for hide things away, but it's also not for offering them everything unfiltered, as we know that brain is developing, right? I'm happy that you're doing this, and I'm curious to hear more about this maybe later on. So going back to leadership, and I liked what you also said. You said you're opened with your decisions and you're opened with your behavior. The way to young talents to get attracted by showing some older generations that there is also another way on top of how to behave. So saying, yes, my kids are first place. We have to stop. We have to end in time, because there's a kid waiting for me somewhere. And this is now the number one for me. What would you say? Is there anything else? What you do to attract younger generations? Not like, hey, I want to attract younger generations, but more like, hey, we are following another leadership style, another yes. st- style in the company which just attract them because we are as we are.
Jobs are changing is the number one answer to that. And even on the construction side, we bring in a lot of helpers. For example, we have a robot in the field that takes care of documentation because we've actually asked our electricians what's their biggest challenge. And they say, my biggest challenge is the documentation. Documenting what I build every day takes over the biggest share of my time. And they're an electrician, right? So what they want to do is work on wires. They don't want to draw what they've worked on. Then they would have become a planner. So through that, with our team, we've brought in a robot dog. First, it was a Boston Dynamics one. Now we're actually working with a Unitree robot together with the university. And the robot, like a dog, walks down the construction site, films everything and takes photos of what they've built and creates the documentation. The upside is it's a digital twin, so we can use it for planning and everything. The challenge is we can't collect as much data because then our construction people should still be able to see it on their phone. So sometimes we have to throw away a lot of data to make it work. I'm really happy we work with RWTH Aachen on that project. And to have a university at the site with all the means and all the intelligence they have as a small family-owned business is the secret power, to be honest. I would advise every family-owned business work with students. They're motivated. They're always ready to try new things, and they have a knowledge pool that is deeper than any company could ever keep alive, I think. So we work with robots to make the jobs more attractive too. It's one of these things that is fun to look at, but then also when you do your job and it becomes easier, is a nice helper. That's one example. Right now we're testing an avatar for our company. We probably don't need it because we're in construction and the digital won't solve the physical. But it's about these things too, giving our team the chance to always learn, lifelong learning kind of thing. So we train them on the job twice a year, and then we try to add an element of surprise to kind of find out where's today, where's our technology moving. And to combine the avatar with an AI agent is really cool. Like, so I'm learning myself. I've posted a few things because it's so funny, this kind of journey I'm on. And it's about that, I think. We also get a lot of applications because people that start with year 9 or 10, they stop school, they go into construction more out of because they're not very good in school, but they're very good at what they do in the job and they have superpowers. And to see that and then develop their superpowers, at least in Germany, we kind of forgot to do that. You know, it's almost like the human is not worth as much because they haven't gone to school for so long. But then in my field of work, they're worth more because they're like Olympic athletes. And when they work with their hands and they know what they're doing, the body knows what it's doing, they get so much better so fast. So yeah, we try to do it that way. We just look at the individual, and it's that you take the strength and make it stronger.
I love what you say. And I also love what you say about construction. Construction lost a little bit attractivity in the past, where it was all about everybody has to study, everybody has to study, and more theoretical is better. But yes, I completely agree with you. There are people with superpowers there. And it can be so fulfilling to do something with your hands where you see afterwards what you've done. And some people are made more for that. Some people are made more for that. And I love that you're supporting these competencies. And I mean, I can imagine you're super powerful. You're super visible also in social media. Can you tell us at least at the end now, unfortunately, three of your hacks to stay that resilient, fresh, beautiful?
Okay, the first and most important, it's a German saying, but I'm going to try to translate. Everyone cooks with water, right? It always looks so great to the outside, but we all do the same thing. And just because it looks better on my Instagram doesn't mean it's not the same work. So that's the most important. Always remind yourself if you see people that have achieved something, everyone cooks with water. The second, and that's the hard truth, if you want to be successful, you have to work. Or there's no elevator to success, you have to take the stairs. And that's what I kept telling myself when I got up tired in the mornings with the kids giving me a short night. That's what it is. If you want to be successful, you have to work. There's no button, like, let's go. And I think the third one is simple communication. Talk to each other. It solves so many problems.
Thank you so much. You sorted out a song change maker, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again, seeing you further, making sure that we all together stay change maker, make the world a better place by doing everything what we do step by step every day. So thank you so much for the engaging discussion and for inspiring insights. And I really, really look forward to our ongoing exchange, Larissa, and the impact we continue to make together world a better place.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you soon. So after the commercial break of approximately 2 minutes, we'll continue with the introduction of Ladina Priyakenchi. So please stay tuned.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome, Ladina. Welcome here in the show, far away from India.
Thank you very much, and hello to everybody. Nice to connect to you.
I would like to introduce Ladina with a few words. Ladina Priyakenchi has spent her life in search of meaning, love, and freedom, a quest that began in childhood play with tree bark and flowers and grew into a lifetime of deep embodiment and service. As a teacher, therapist, and founder of the Starfire Mountain College in Davos, she blends movement, yoga, meditation, and somatic healing to help others rediscover their innate power and purpose. Her journey from classroom to healing spaces, from near-death questioning to spiritual devotion, reflects a profound commitment to growth, connection, and life wisdom. I'm very happy to have you here, Ladina. You're currently in India, and I'm super happy that we have such a great connection. If we go back from India some years back, what is your most vivid early memory of feeling joy and love as a child in Davos?
I was always very joy-filled, always very happy, always running and climbing trees and mountains. And I remember really being a very, very happy child and very open-hearted. And very, as you said, I made these boats with moss and flowers, and I rang at the doors from people, and I said, "Hello from God." So I always knew that the God is inside me and inside everybody, and not God is not an old man standing in the heavens and thinking bad about you. Not at all. So I always knew it's joy, it's love, it's. I was very happy, but and I saw angels when I was 5 years old, but then everything changed when I was 6 years old. Yeah.
Oh, so this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And I mean, It's not too far away, of course, to imagine that you must have been also happy as a primary teacher, having a lot of small kids in front of you, which starts getting into the world, which are still open to a world, which are still inspired, which are still curious, which are still also first giving love to everybody.
Yes, I was a very, very happy school teacher, and I loved the children very dearly. And the children, they were as wild as the teacher. And so I saw it first when I was a school teacher, very young. All my colleagues were 50 and 60, around 60, and I was 20. So I thought, oh my God, with all my love, I can teach them, and I want to teach them love. But I also had to teach other subjects, and but the best part was, of course, when I created a dancing theater for children, and we had over 120 children together with the friends, and so it was very beautiful to do that dancing theater together, and that was more important actually, and I could live my spirituality. And I had a near-death experience when I was 6 years old, and I told you everything changed after that. And so I was searching all my life: who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And how can I create a good life for myself, but not just for myself, but it's also for everybody. I want to be that everybody is happy, not just myself.
This is really wonderful, and I can just imagine how you stood in front of your kids. Is there a practice which you would suggest us to do with kids if you want to bring them back into their roots, into their power? Because when you described this, Ladina, I had in my mind a school which I visited a few weeks ago, and I was super sad because it was a primary school, yeah, and I saw a lot of super sad kids sitting there just doing nothing, and I saw an empty eyes, and I was really sad when I saw that, because I saw no green around, nothing colorful. I saw no things where they could get relaxed or get back to their strength. Is there a practice you might could give us, which maybe our listeners can do when they are around with their kids, which are exhausted back from school?
Yes, it's very important that you just slow down. You as a teacher, it's like now I'm also working in a clinical setting with children 2.5 years old and many, many diagnoses. And so the best and the most important is that I am totally calm, full of love and totally calm. And then everything unfolds beautifully. And so children need to learn very early to do a deep inhalation and a long exhalation. And just if they do that, they calm down, and we also hum with the children, because humming is very beautifully to calm down the nervous system. So very important. And also, I have many children with ADHS, ADHS, and calming them down, and then making a big, like running. The children need to run, and not just the boys, also the girls, and to be wild. I like it when they are wild, but then also they need to be quiet. And if I am quiet, if I am calm, then they calm down, and that's very important. And of course, all these beautiful children, they are way ahead of us. As I say that as a school teacher, it's the future of children are the future. So they're much more developed as us. They are great teachers coming from far away, and so it's very important to help them ground. So what I do is, of course, yoga therapy, yoga, but also that they their feet, they massage their feet, and we do exercises just to the way they walk.
Yes, when it's allowed, I can't hear you, Ladina. I hope you get back. Maybe it's the Indian connection currently, which makes a small problem. So to continue while she tries to get back. Ladina founded the Starfire Mountain College in Davos, and what she does there is she does there a lot of tan dance therapy. I took part once as a speaker at one of the conferences, and it really inspired me how she brought everybody into dancing mode. Each of people which were sitting beforehand on their chairs, a bit bored, a bit, no, don't ask me. I just want to sit down. And she took everybody from the seats. Everybody stood up and clapped the hand and started singing. And I think a lot lays just in herself and her character. Because if you can imagine, if you can see her, if you can feel her, she's a very positive person. Even if stress comes, she is somebody who listens more than talk. And while she listens, she's just respectful, concentrating on the other person, something which a lot of people have stopped understanding because it's okay, so it seems that India is currently a bit tricky, and I remember from my last trip that I did one radio show from India, and the day before, and I made the people from the hotel really taking care that the radio show works, and they came to me and said, Annabur, we have some street problems." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "The cables on the another street they will we cup will be destroyed tomorrow because they renew the whole street." So the hotel was so nice to find a partner hotel with me for the next days, and there came a boy. Came with me the son of the hotel owner, and he was the whole part with me to make sure that the radio show works. As he said, yes, sometimes it happens in India that we lose the connection, but we have always the inner connection, and this is important, and we are always helpful. So back to Ladina, and I hope we will hear her and see her later on. She made a special career from being a teacher at the primary school, learning everything what you need to work as a therapist, but also especially children therapist, dance therapist. And while that, I mean, it doesn't mean that you need to be somebody who's very positive, because looking into the therapists, the mass of therapists, you see a lot of people which are very serious, very negative also, because they've seen a lot. But she stayed and bewored her positive manner. Her positive manner against everything in the world, against the plants, against the animals, against the every human. And I've never experienced somebody as her talking with such a love about everybody, not only love. Please come back. Oh, that's great. Ladina, can you hear me? Ladina? Okay, no. We see her, but we can't hear her. So until she's back, I will continue a little bit. Ladina is not only somebody who does her work. She got the information for her that as a teacher, she can have maybe 20 people in front of her. But she understood that working in a hospital for kids, she can reach much more. And she understood that also with her Starfire Mountain College in Davos, she can reach masses of people. She brings together countries, India and Switzerland and Germany and many other countries where her participants come from. But Ladina, can you hear me? No.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
She's back. That's great. Ladina, I just make some advertisement for you. No, I just described your way of being, which I really adore, as you know. And I mean, I would like to know from you. You faced so many challenges. Being in Davos and seeing the World Economic Forum in front of your house could make other people really negative, seeing that some people of power come there and just discuss not to heal the world, but how to destroy the world or how to poison the world more. You would see it. How do you make sure that you stay that positive and for rituals you do by yourself, but also maybe rituals you can give us, which we can do, or rituals you do to others?
Yeah, it's you're right. It was totally crazy, the World Economic Forum. But when I hear news like this in your country, in Germany, that we must prepare for the war in 2029, this gives me so much strength to say, no, stupid. I want to stand for peace now. We have to do peace now. We have to become peaceful. We have to be change makers now, and we have to be role models for the children now. So that gives me a lot of strength and power. And sometimes it works better. And sometimes, of course, I also think, oh my God, I shouldn't hear these bad messages. But actually, I was all my life, I was very convinced to be in that role and to be a good role model. And I want to be free, and I am actually free. So I want it for you too and for everybody. And yeah, I was leaving when the World Economic happened. All those years I went over to India because I couldn't stand the energy. But 6 years ago I decided, no, I stay at home, and as a local I can contribute something and help and find the right people like you. And together we will make the change. And together we will show the children's, and not just the children's, everybody, that there is another way out of the war. And it's not necessary to advertise war, and it's not necessary to buy weapons. See, especially Switzerland has a very important role to play. We, as a country, we need to take a stand. We bring harmony and peace into the world. And I honestly hate it that we sell weapons and that we do as if. We really need to take a stand and, yeah, go back to being neutral.
Absolutely, Ladina. Thank you for giving us these wise, wise words. And I just want to repeat one sentence. You say, when there's an eye of a kind of, I say it with my own words, when there's an eye of the storm, then don't step away, don't hide, be there and find
Yeah.
solutions. Be yourself, stay resilient, and learn from that each, even a small little step, can change so much. Thank you so much for being here, Ladina, being with
Thank
us
you.
from
I
your.
forgot the exercise. Do you want to hear it?
If
Do we
it's
have
a very short one, it
very
is okay.
short, 2 minutes,
Very
3 minutes?
short.
I can
One
explain it
minute.
because
One
1 minute.
minute.
You are much more than what you think you are. You're not your feelings, you're not your thoughts, you're not your roles, you're this ocean of compassion. And maybe just close your eyes and inhale deeply and exhale very long. And just calm down. And remember a beautiful moment you had yesterday or today or 10 years ago, doesn't matter. And you feel a strong power in yourself, but also behind yourself, like a tree. You are a tree. And you have deep roots. And you see the sun. You see the sun, and you get the energy from the sun. That's why I get my energy every morning. The sun is coming up shining brightly. And you are as bright as the sun.
Thank you so much, Ladina. I wish we could continue now. So we need a special second series with you, maybe better from Davos. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, the resilience, and limitless potential of us around the globe together. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, keep shining
Thank you very much.
and empowering others. Together we rise.